We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the Ninth Man. The Ninth Man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Magazine.
Raymond, what is it? Sweetheart, what's wrong? You've gone as white as a sheet.
What? Oh, nothing, just a bit of a muscular twinge.
Shall I rub it? Would that help?
No, I'll be all right.
I'll get the Bengay. Oh, sweetheart, does it hurt bad?
No, I'll just sit like this for a moment. God. Oh, Lord. How? What could have happened? Photographs of dash curling crates and contents.
Special dispatch to the Star, New York, June 27. Landed on the Atlantic coast by Nazi submarines, eight Berlin-trained German sabotage school experts, equipped with $150,000 in cash and explosives for a two-year terror campaign against vital American war plants, have been captured. This was disclosed tonight by the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, J. Edgar Hoover. Mr. Hoover said that the eight men under arrest are all former United States residents. Several are former German-American Bund members. Two are United States citizens. And one is a former member of the Michigan National Guard. One crew of four was landed on Long Island the night of June 13th, and the other four landed at a beach near Jacksonville, Florida, three nights later. Mr. Hoover emphasized that none of the spectacular missions assigned to the Nazi saboteurs was carried out, and all eight men are in custody, the last having been captured today in Chicago.
Raymond, sweetheart? What is it? What's the matter? Is the pain still there?
No, it's all right.
Are you sure it's just a muscle spasm? You look so terribly upset.
Damn it, leave me alone. Can't you see I don't want to talk?
Well, there's no need to snap my head off. I was only trying to help.
Hell, the whole damn lot of them caught. I just can't believe it. Guess I'll have to go and apologize to her in a minute. Make up for my rudeness. I still need her. Now more than ever, I need her. I'm entirely alone.
He was some kind of artist, I think. I saw him a week ago last Thursday. He was out here most of the day. Can't for the life of me imagine why. There ain't nothing to draw out here but trees and weeds. He was over there, on that hill above the railroad bridge.
Uh-huh. Was there anyone with him, Mr. Hanlon?
Oh, not that I saw. He was by himself when I passed, sketching in a big pad. I was on the road below, taking my tractor over to Ab McMaster's place. My two older boys used to do all the repairs. They're both in the service now. Navy. Yeah, you said you were in the Army, did you?
Yeah, that's right. Did you get a good look at the man?
Oh, not really, no. My eyes ain't what they used to be. Oh, I stared at him as I drove by. Well, we don't see many young people out here anymore, not with everyone in the service. He was kind of dark and sturdy looking, mm-hmm. About your age, I'd say. Parked his car down the foot of the hill near the road.
Did you see the license number?
Oh, afraid not, no. They was D.C. plates, so I remember thinking it was a long way to come just to draw a few pictures. Waste of gasoline and rubber, if you ask me.
What kind of car was it?
Oh, nice little gray coupe. Lincoln. Maybe 38, maybe 39. I'm not too good at models. Oh, my boys would have known immediately. It used to be car crazy. I've one younger boy still at home. With him, it's airplanes. That's the war for you. You can't tell a Ford from a Chevrolet. You point a plane that's no more than a tiny speck in the sky, you can tell you instantly whether it's a P-40E or a P-40F. I don't mean to be forward. May I ask why you aren't wearing a uniform?
It's my day off.
Oh, day off, huh? Mm-hmm. You Army people have it pretty good. Both my boys are on destroyers. Well, I don't know why they picked the Navy. Oh, I see your wife and daughter in the car. Planning on having a picnic breakfast?
Look, if it's all right with you, I'd like to go over and take a closer look at that knoll above the bridge.
Sure, suit yourself. Anything for our boys in the service.
Oh, thanks. Mr. Hanlon, I may want to get in touch with you again about this man.
Uh-huh.
Would you mind if I called or sent someone up later this week? We won't bother you unless it becomes necessary.
Oh, I'll do anything to help. What is it, draft doctor?
Yeah, something like that. Thanks again for the help.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. If you're going over to that knoll, you might like to picnic up there. There's a good view from all around.
Oh, thanks. That's a good idea.
That makes the fifth farmhouse in a row, Andy. This was supposed to be an outing, not a working session. Are we going to keep it up all morning?
No, that's the last one. I think I found what I was looking for.
Good.
Well, if it's all right with you, I think we'll unpack up there on the hill. And I can walk down and have a good look at the bridge.
Suit yourself, lover.
Surrounding it. And this is the track that carried the presidential train. My railroad expert has verified that. So how can I explain the story in the paper this morning? The FBI have caught them all. The last of them in Chicago, just as they predicted. Have I been wrong all the time? Have I made a complete ass of myself over a collection of simple coincidences?
Andy.
Oh, Gay, sorry, I...
You were miles away.
Mm.
I've been standing here for several minutes watching you contemplate. You still think he's out there, don't you?
Yeah. For all the good it'll do. I'll never get anyone to listen to me now.
Are you sure people want to listen to you?
Well, honey, if I'm right, the son of a bee is after the president. I can't pull in my horns now.
Andy, look, I know I encouraged you in this, but that was before we knew the facts. Now that they've all been caught, we have to be reasonable, both of us. It must have been a mistake. Maybe we just jumped off the deep end because it sounded exciting and possible. You can see that, can't you?
It wasn't a mistake. Nothing has changed, except that the FBI caught a man in Chicago. That doesn't necessarily mean he was our man.
Sure, baby. But maybe there never was another man. At least as far as the Germans are concerned. Don't you see? There's probably a reasonable explanation for everything he did, every single thing, without tying him to the spies.
He was here, Gay. Right here on the hill, checking the tracks. Just 2 days before the presidential train crossed this bridge.
You can't be certain.
I am certain. The farmer saw him. And I saw a sketch of the bridge in his book. Why, Gay? Why would he come out here if he wasn't after the president?
Andy, be reasonable.
Honey, I'd like to do as you say. I'd like nothing better than to stick my brain under a faucet and rinse it out, get rid of this whole thing, but I can't. It's like an old bird dog I used to have. Did I ever tell you about Pudge?
No, I don't think so.
Well, old Pudge wasn't much of a dog. Too fat for hunting. But he was mine, and I loved him. He'd do anything I told him to. One day we were up in the mountains back in Trinidad. Pudge smelled something in a willow thicket and tried to go in after it, but I wouldn't let him. I made him heel. We hadn't gone more than 50 feet before a big brown bear reared up out of the thicket and ran like hell. Pudge gave me the most reproachful look I've ever seen from a dog. I don't much blame him.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, really. I'm just trying to make a point. I don't think Pudge ever forgave me for not letting him tear in after that bear. It was his big moment, and I made him blow it.
Did you have a gun?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Why?
Did it ever occur to you that you and Pudge would have both been in serious trouble if you had allowed him to rush into that thicket? That bear might have torn you both to pieces.
Maybe. But there are times when I think it might have been worth it, for the dog anyway. Old Pudge had a pretty dull life. I guess that was mainly my fault. I was always making him heal.
Are you suggesting that I've been treating you like a pet dog?
All I can say, hon, is that there's a bear in that Washington thicket. Please don't ask me to heal.
You sly old fox. You never had a dog named Pudge, and you know it.
Oh, well, maybe not. But if I had, I'd have learned my lesson that day.
When I read that article in the paper this morning, I really thought the trip out here was going to be a complete waste of time.
And now?
Well, I don't know.
At first, I thought, unrealistically, I guess, that what I read was some kind of an FBI trick to cover up the fact that they couldn't locate the eighth man. I even got hold of Carter's home number and questioned him about it. He convinced me it was genuine. But it also convinced me that there must be a ninth man.
Well, here's a nice little stick lying close to hand.
What?
Here we are. All right, Tiger, it's your bear. Go and fetch it. Fetch, boy, fetch!
About the time we were out at Maryland, Special Agent Emerson Carter was sitting in the waiting room outside the director's Washington office, clutching a pile of interrogation reports, which he thought might give some credence to my spy theory. He had requested the audience that I had urged and was waiting to see if it would be granted. He had quite a long wait. I was in two minds whether or not to disengage himself when the inner door opened and Grover leaned out to beckon him in.
Me?
Yes. Come on.
Yes, sir. Has somebody already told him that I want to see him?
Yes. That's why he sent for your file.
My file? He sent for my file?
Yep. You better go through. I don't have to tell you he doesn't like to be kept waiting.
Yeah. Thanks.
Special Agent Carter, isn't it?
Harry, yes, sir.
I understand you want to talk to me.
Perhaps this isn't the best time. I know how busy you are. I could come back. It's almost time for church service, isn't it?
This is an excellent time. I'm always prepared to talk to our bright young people, even on Sundays. Remember, the Bureau is a family. A happy, cooperative family. I'd like to keep it that way.
Have you
read the morning papers? Americans across the country are reading these today. It's about time, too. There hasn't been much good news lately. Stories like these, stories of success in the face of adversity, stories of honorable and dutiful men standing shoulder to shoulder to do their best in awkward times, these stories help to renew faith in government when it's most needed. Faith, young man, that's a wonderful commodity in times of stress. And none of it would have been possible without the cleaving together, the family feeling, the love and respect of bureau agents one for another. I admire men who work together, who pull as a team.
Yes, sir.
There are some who might wish to wreck that faith. Outsiders who meddle in bureau business. I understand there was such a movement afoot last week. Some rank amateur at the White House, a certain Army officer, who insisted that there was a spy in Washington. It's been brought to my attention that this meddling Army officer may even have gone so far as to arrange a meeting with one of our people at a certain local memorial in order to intrude himself in our affairs and try to convince us that we were making a mistake. Can you believe, Special Agent Carter, that he would actually try to pervert the loyalties of one of our own people?
What if he has a point, sir? What if there is a ninth man?
There is no ninth man. These newspapers all report, and quite accurately, I might add, that all of the spies have been caught. And do you know why they report that? Because I told them at a press conference last night, at the express orders of the President of the United States. Loyal citizens everywhere will sleep better tonight, secure in the knowledge that the Bureau has caught and jailed these war criminals. Would this Army captain have me call those editors and tell them that I was wrong? That a minor military officer with a dubious record has now reached the conclusion that the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the President of the United States are idiots? Do you suppose that's what this White House captain wants?
Sir, no, sir. Surely not, sir.
Very well. I trust I have made myself understood. I want you to feel free to come in again any time for a little chat. This has been very pleasant, and I have enjoyed hearing your views. Goodbye, Special Agent Carter.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well?
Harold's teeth and all the mashing that goes with it. How the blazes did he know?
Because you're an ass, Carter. You called the man for our own switchboard. Good heavens, Carter. The Washington Monument. How trite.
Monday, June 29th, 1942. The 17th day.
Of course not. I never was.
You've been acting funny since yesterday morning. Oh, hon, if I've done anything or said anything, I'm sorry.
No, you haven't done anything.
Then what is it? Aren't you feeling well? Look, I can take the day off if you want me to. I can fetch things for you and take your temperature and, you know, kind of watch over you. Mr. Cooper wouldn't mind.
No, I feel fine. You go to work. I've got some things to do.
Okay, Ray. If you say so. Oh, here. Let me light it for you. There.
Thanks.
Now, are you sure? You don't want me to stay?
I'm sure. I got a job interview with C.S. Roebuck. I can't afford to miss it.
Silly. I've told you not to worry about a job. I make plenty for both of us. Kiss me goodbye. That's much better. Now, don't forget to feed the birds.
I won't.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, she wanted to know if something was wrong. Eight good men sacrificed for nothing. And now I have to accomplish the rest of it alone.
Calm down, calm down. Give yourself a cup of coffee. You have time enough to think and to plan.
Yes.
Okay.
What would happen if I just chucked it? What would happen if I just got out now while I still have a whole skin? It would be quite easy to simply back into the American system. I can use false identities to fade out of sight. I'd be safe.
Yes, you could settle in with Sarah, get a job of some kind, and just disappear. You could even make your own cautious way to the bright blue bowl of Texas sky.
There's no need to go to that extreme. Life with Sarah wouldn't be so bad. She does have a certain appeal. A lot like Goethe in many ways. Young, pretty, naive about sex.
But would that really please you? Is that what you want?
It'd be easy. Quiet existence, Sundays in the park, love in the evenings, an occasional Saturday movie. Ignore the war. Become an observer for the duration.
You could take a step back from reality and stand on the outside once more, looking in.
Yes. And Dash and Kathleen can talk their heads off to the FBI and I'd still be safe. Neither of them know enough about me to make any trouble. After all, is it really so important to kill a president? Would it really make any difference? Will anyone really care?
What about Oberstleutnant Gritzner, who set the mission for you? Told you how important the mission is. How the whole of Germany depends on you and your success. Won't he care? He could be sitting in his Abwehr office right now, waiting nervously for word, watching Allied newspapers, analyzing radio reports, living for the moment when your hand strikes the president down.
It's more than likely he's already dismissed me from his mind, turned to other equally glittering missions. No, no one will care, not even Gritzner. Insiders have their own lives to lead, their own problems to surmount, their own successes to achieve. That's what makes them insiders. If I slavishly follow instructions and the president dies, they might take a little time off to celebrate for an hour or two, perhaps even a full day. Gritzner might go to the officers' club and buy drinks for the house and brag cryptically about his part in the success. Then they forget about it and go on with their own lives. On the other hand, if I do nothing, if I fade from view and let the president live, the insiders can continue their lives uninterrupted. What difference would it make to them if a man they didn't know failed to execute a mission they have never heard of?
But if you're going to be honest with yourself, you know you won't fail. Whether the mission is important or not to others is immaterial. It's vital to you. If you drop out now, back away from the danger, consign yourself to the outside after your attempts in Germany to become a fully fledged member of somewhere, you know you'll never find your way back in. You'll be a permanent outsider, drifting from window to window for the rest of your life.
No. Perhaps for the lucky ones, belonging is something they're born to. But for the unlucky ones like me, the unlucky ones have to pay a membership fee.
That was The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Magazine. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.